Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 17. We'll read verses 1 through 9, and I'll have you read the even verses, and I'll read the odd verses. If you'll stand in honor and love and respect for the Word of God, if you're able to. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. I'll begin in verse 1, and you join me in the even verses, 2, 4, 6, and 8, right? Who do we appreciate? God, God, yes we do. Okay, amen. All right, verse 1, here we go. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city. And when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. Well, here we are in Acts chapter 17. And this story, of course, you understand where this is in Paul's life as he's traveling around and preaching the gospel. He's now taken Silas as his partner. Remember, he and Barnabas had a little bit of a tiff, if you will, a disagreement. I don't know if it was a misunderstanding, but disagreement about John Mark. But, you know, they did go their separate ways, and Barnabas took Mark, and Paul chose Silas, and they went out and continued to do the work of God. I love what this says here. In verse 2, it says, "And Paul, as his manner was." Everywhere he went, he did this. Everywhere he went, he had the same standard operating procedure as he went into a city. And, you know, the thing about it is that it's just a wonderful thing to be ordered and organized. And you know what? A lot of people say about us Baptists, well, you're just so narrow-minded. You have a certain way to do this and a certain way to do that. Yeah. Yeah, we do. There's a reason for that, because it's principled. It's ordered by the Lord. We know the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, right? And so we understand that the way of man is not ordered by himself. It's ordered by God. And God has an order to things. And so Paul was a very knowledgeable man. He was a very well-educated man. Remember, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was the one that held the coats at the stoning of Stephen. And you know, so he witnessed all of these things and knew all this stuff before he was saved. And then upon his conversion, of course, he was able to transfer that knowledge and use it for the glory of God and the gospel's sake. And listen, Paul was no dummy, is what I'm trying to tell you. Okay? He knew what he was doing. He had a process, and he had an order, and he knew how things were to go. And so Paul went to the city, and he went to the synagogue, because remember what he said in Romans chapter 1? "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Why do you think that's there? He went to take the word of God to the Jews first, and also to the Greeks. He took it to the Gentiles also. Remember, he said he's an apostle to the Gentiles called out of due time. And so we understand his ministry and his mission, but he was concerned, and the scripture, it tells us that he wanted the Jews to be saved above all. His own people, his own countrymen. And listen, you can understand the heart of a guy like Paul. Listen, I want Americans to be saved, but I also want people around the world to be saved also. But if we neglect missions here in America, we're kind of doing a disservice to our own people. You know, we ought to do the best we can all over the world, including our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and then unto the uttermost part of the world. And so we've got to understand that God wants us to do these things. So Paul, he had a way that he went about doing things, and he said, as his manner was. I want you to focus as what's said of Paul and Silas. Go to verse 10. No, I'm sorry. Go to verse 6. I lost my spot. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. By this time, Paul was known in that part of the world. And his work was known in that part of the world. And remember, verse 2 tells us that as his manner was. So in city after city after city after city, he followed this process. People were saved. Churches were started. Things were disrupted as far as normal life goes in that part of the world. So it is said by these people, these Jews, which believed not, it tells us in verse 5, and they were moved with envy and took unto themselves certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. That's a music joke for those of us that are tenors or such like that. We like to pick on the fellows that sing low down, right? They're of the baser sort. That's always a fun little joke, but bassists probably don't think so, but that's okay. But you know what? They were moved with envy. They didn't like the fact that these people were stealing away their followers. Yeah, they had a problem with that. Remember, the Pharisees had a problem with that too. So you see, this was something that he was doing, and they make the comments here in verse 6 that these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. In other words, their outcry is that, hey, they've disrupted things in this city, in this city, in this city. Now they're in our city. Oh, no. Hey, leaders of the city, don't let them ruin our city. We like our city. We like our lies. We like our wickedness and all the things that we're doing. And don't let them ruin our town, too. Yeah, that's basically what they're saying. So I want to talk to you today simply about turning your world upside down. Turning your world upside down. And when I say your world, I mean the world that you live in. The area of influence, the area that you travel in around this area of your town or your city where you live, your neighborhood, your workplace, the world that you dwell in, this place, turning it upside down. In order to turn your world upside down, you've got to go out into the world. Yeah, go out into the world. Are you going to be able to turn your world upside down in your living room? Maybe. Your wife not be too happy about it, right? Or husbands, you come home and the couch is moved here, the chair is moved there, or something like that, right? And you bump into it. What's going on? Okay. No, not that kind of turned around. I'm talking about the way people receive you. The way people look at you. The way people think about you. But it's the places that you go. The places that you travel and are around. You've got to get out into the world. Listen, I didn't say become of the world. I said, get out into the world. Right? And I don't mean get into something like a rat gets into your food store or whatever like that. No, not like that. Or the kids get into the cookie jar. Not like it's something you're not supposed to do. But I'm talking about going and traveling in this world. Hey, listen. How can we reach people we don't talk to? How can we reach people we don't even see? All right? How do we, if we don't go anywhere or do anything, you know, that's one of the things I've totally despised about this quarantine stuff and people staying home, is we don't get out and talk to people anymore. This social distancing and all that stuff, right? I mean, I understand the purposes of it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not mocking it that much, just a little bit. But you see, we can take it too far to where we just board ourselves up in our homes and never go out and talk to anyone and never go out and see anybody. And that's not what God has in mind. He wants us to go out and intermingle with people. He wants us to be out in our communities and to be active. We need to go. We know the Bible says, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Can I tell you something? God knew there was going to be a pandemic. And he told us to do that anyways. Just saying. It's okay. Now, I think you ought to be wise. You ought to be safe. You ought to do what you possibly can do. But don't just not do anything. Okay? Not just go out and do it, but you can be wise about it. You got to be a little creative sometimes. Speaking of being creative, one time I forgot my mask. I wanted to go into a store, and I didn't have one. All I had was my tie. So I took my tie off, and I wrapped it around my head, and I went in the store. It said face covering, so that's what I did. You know, just, I've got to be creative sometimes. All right? Now, so we've got to go out and be creative. And we need to go out into our communities. Luke chapter 5, go over there. Luke chapter 5, and beginning in verse 3. You know, this is in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Luke chapter 5. Look at verse chapter 5 in Luke in verse 3. It says, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. That's Simon Peter, of course. And prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left off speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And before I continue on with this story, I want you to understand something. Peter and his brother and his family were professional fishermen. Okay, they knew about this business. And when they say they toiled all the night and they caught nothing, listen, they did their best. They knew where to fish. They knew how to throw the nets. They knew how to retrieve the nets. They knew where to throw them in the lake that they, the body of water that they lived by. Listen, they knew this from the time they were small. Their father brought them up in this business. So please understand that, okay? All right? Now, we've done that, and he says, but nevertheless, I will let down the net. And then when he had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. You see, so this was not a fishing expedition. This is an illustration of going out to catch men. going out to catch men. He says, from this, from henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Hey, listen, if you're going to catch fish, you got to go out where the fish are. If you're going to catch men, you got to go out where the men are. It's just that simple. It's that simple of an illustration. Hey, listen, Peter, before Jesus commanded him what to do, he said, yeah, hey, I've been out there. I've been toiling all night. We didn't catch anything. When Jesus said to go, they caught more than their net and their boats could handle. Hey, folks, you say, well, I've been going to the same job for 20 years. I've lived in the same neighborhood for 15 years. Oh, I've been going to the same bank. I've been going to the same barbershop. I've been going to the same McDonald's. I've been going to the same here, but same there, same Walmart, the same this, the same that. I've lived in this community of Wiley, in this area, for 30 years, for 20 years, for 10 years. I haven't caught anything. Just keep going. One of these days, Jesus is going to say, let down your net over there, and you're going to catch some. Yeah. Because we just got to go out there. We've got to go to them. If you think about what happened, look at it, just listen to what we read earlier. It says, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them. He, you know who he wanted to reach? He wanted to reach the Jews. So where did he go? He went where the Jews were. Yeah, he went to the synagogue. Hey, listen, he's in Gentile countries and towns where Jews had been scattered abroad the world, right? And where did the Jews gather? The synagogue on the Sabbath. So where was he going to go to find them? The synagogue. Hello? That's easy, right? And so he did that. If you're going to go fishing or catch fish, if you want to catch fish, where are you going to go? Go where the fish are. And if you're going to catch men, go where the men are. Exodus 5:1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Now, you say, why in the world, where did you get an Old Testament verse from to explain this thing about turning your world upside down? Hold just a minute here. Who was Moses? Who was he? He was a Hebrew. Raised in the Pharaoh's house. Okay? Did he travel that palace? And knew those people? Did he? Did he know their customs and their ways? Huh? And who did God send to speak his word and let his message be heard? And where did Moses have to go? Back to somewhere he didn't want to go. Oh, it fits. It fits, folks. This illustration fits. In going out to them. Hey, listen. Paul, do you think the Jews knew that he used to be Saul? Oh, yeah. Hey, listen. Some of these Jews may have been, you know, fellow Pharisee brethren of his, right? They may have known him in the past. But where did he go? Synagogues. Wasn't he afraid? Maybe. But that was his manner. You think Moses was a little bit nervous about going into Pharaoh, who wanted him dead? Just a little. But he did it anyways. You know what? God wants us to do these things. He wants us to go. Hey, remember, go to Acts chapter 10. If you have a moment to slip over there, if I beat you there and start reading, it's okay. Acts chapter 10 and verse 25. We know that Peter was up on the housetop, had a vision, right? And the vision had a purpose because God had already been talking to Cornelius and said, hey, send some men down to this place and get this man. He'll tell you what you need to do. And he looks at, look what it says here in verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down on his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Peter was up on the housetop, right? Had the vision.
Some men came by and said, hey, they're looking for you. He went with them. He went with them. And he went into the house of a Gentile, Cornelius. He was a Jew. He wasn't supposed to be doing that. But God told him, hey, let your net down over here. Yeah. Go catch these fish. I have these fish prepared for you. This man Cornelius wants to be saved. There's an easy one over here. And he went to them. You know what? I love how God works that way. He wants us to go and he gives us opportunity. He launched out into the deep and let down their nets for a draught and a place that they had toiled all the night before and caught nothing. All of a sudden, there was a great abundance of fishes there. Folks, you say, oh, Brother Combs, I've tried. My neighborhood, they don't want to listen to me. Go let down your nets for a draught. Or my co-workers, they're tired of the same old. Let down your nets for a draught. Go to them. Go to them anyways. Well, we know. I told you this is Paul's way of doing things. In Acts 13, it says, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Poseidon and went to the synagogue the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation of the people, say on. Hallelujah. Get a chance to preach. And they told me I can. Acts 14:1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jew and also of the Greeks, believed. Acts 17:10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. That was his manner. And as his manner was, he went to them. Hey, let me ask you a question. Where did Paul get this idea of going to the synagogues to preach to the Jews? Anybody? Jesus! Yes, Jesus! Oh, hey, Matthew 12:9. And when he was departed thence, he went to their synagogue. Matthew 13:54. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue. Remember when Jesus was lost by his parents at the Passover? Where was he? In the temple. About his father's business. Yes. John 6:59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. You know what? We got to follow God's example. Go to them. If you're going to turn your world upside down, go and go and keep going and go back and go back and go back and go back. You know what they're going to say? These that are turned the world upside down are come hither also. That's what they're going to say. But they're not going to say that if we don't go. If we don't go to them where they are, where the fish are, where the men are, if we don't go where we need to go, we're not going to turn our world upside down. Now, when we get there, now what? We're going to turn our world upside down. We've got to not only go to them, we've got to reason with them. We've got to reason with them. Hey, remember what it says in the Bible? Let me get my verse here right. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. When Paul went to the synagogues, when Jesus preached in the synagogues, and when these men said, hey, if you have a word of exhortation, say on. What did they do? They reasoned with them. They spoke to them. They showed them how these things were true. It says in verse 2 there in our text, and Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Hey, you know your Bible? Do you know why you're saved? Can you give them a reason of the hope that is in you? Listen, I've already talked to you about your personal testimony. Do you know how God saved you? Yeah, reason with them. Let them know that God can save them. We need to show them Jesus Christ. We need to illustrate and expound and use scriptures to prove that Jesus is the Christ. Hey, listen, are not people all raised up in different manners and sorts? Right? Customs? Now listen, being raised in the South is different from being raised in the North, right? You all understand that. Most of you don't even know what a snowmobile is. Okay, it's like a four-wheeler with skis, okay? That's all, it's basically in a track. That's what it is. They're great fun. Great fun. But we're all raised a little different. Listen, some of you may be fishermen down here, okay? Listen, I've enjoyed learning how to fish for bass. You say, Brother Combs, that's crazy. I mean, that bass, that's the fish. Well, I'm sorry, but where I come from, it's not the fish. We have smallmouth. We got something called a walleye. Fantastic. Y'all don't have those down here. We got something called a northern pike. Fun to catch. Okay, fun. I mean, fun. Now, they're a little fishy tasting, but they're fun. But you know, fishing's fishing. Not quite. Not quite. There's different techniques, right? Different ways to do things. But you know what? Not everybody's raised. Some people may be raised in this religion, or no religion at all. Do you know that I've knocked on a door and I've asked somebody, if you die today, you know for sure you go to heaven? They say, I don't even know what you're talking about. I said, well, the Bible says, I've never read a Bible. I've never seen a Bible. Yeah, here in Texas. I met somebody that had never seen a Bible. Isn't that amazing? Hey, I got my work cut out for me, don't I? To reason with them with the Scriptures. In 1 Samuel 12:7, the Bible says, now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteousness, of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your fathers. Hey, people need to be reasoned with. They need to know what God has done. They need to know about God, about his wonderful works, about the things that he has done, salvation he's provided, the blessings of the Christian life, the blessings of knowing God and his word and his son. Acts 17:17 says, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Hey, listen, don't be afraid to have a friendly discussion about things. And listen, you need to know why you believe what you believe, so that you can reason with them in the Scriptures. Hey, listen, don't just say, well, my pastor says, or my Sunday school teacher said, or, you know, this scholar in the Bible said this or that. No, listen, know why you believe what you believe. I know I used the verse in Sunday school, but the people in Berea were called more noble because they knew what was right and what was not according to the Scriptures. You know what? Don't we and shouldn't we be more noble? Shouldn't we be ready and able to give people a reason of the hope that is in us? We should. He said, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. In other words, know what you're talking about. Do you think that Paul and Peter and these people like Philip and Silas and John Mark and Barnabas, do you think they knew what they were talking about? Yeah, they did. I mean, Jesus certainly knew what he was talking about, right? So ought not we, shouldn't we know what we be what we're talking about as well? Acts 18:4 says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Acts 18:19 says, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered in the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Acts 19:8 says, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. Hey, you got enough material to go 3 months speaking to people about Jesus Christ? And disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Remember Paul at the end of this chapter? We're here in chapter 17. Remember he went off to Athens. Whoa. Intimidating. Huh? With the Epicureans and the Stoics? These philosophical people? I love what he says in verse 23. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Hey, how many people here in the great state of Texas will raise their hand and say, I believe in God? Can I tell you something? They ignorantly worship. Yeah. Him declare we unto you. Oh, we have such a great opportunity. Hey, how many people say, well, I'm a God-fearing man. I'm a God-fearing woman. They use it so casually, don't they? Oh, we have such an opportunity to reason with them in the scriptures and be able to declare unto them this unknown God whom they ignorantly worship. In Romans 3, verses 21 through 26, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. We get to declare it. We get to reason with them. We get to show them, and we get to use things like persuading them. Remember what Agrippa said? Almost thou persuadest me. Almost, Paul. But you know what? We've got to go in and reason with them. We've got to go to them. We've got to go out there where they are. And we've got to reason with them. And then go back to Acts chapter 17, where we started. We see here that as his manner was, he went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. That was his remarks and comments. He didn't just leave it there. He didn't just go to them. He didn't just get the fish on the hook, and he didn't prepare and go out into the water where the fish was and get the fish in there. And when Jesus had them go out and drop their nets, he didn't just say, okay, get all the nets, all the fish in the nets, and then just kind of look at them for a little while and let them go. No, he said, bring them in the boat. They filled the boats, brought them to shore. They finished the task. And Paul, when he went to the synagogues, he went to them, he preached, he reasoned with them, he persuaded them, and then he just walked out, right? Or what's popular today? He just dropped the mic. No, come on, really? Yeah, okay, that rang true with a lot of you. That's great. That's fantastic. Man, that's wonderful. No, he didn't do that. He followed through. Look at verse 4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. There was a harvest there. Remember when Pentecost had come and the Holy Spirit of God was upon them, and they went out there and 3,000 people were saved and baptized and added to the church. So if we're going to turn our world upside down, we've got to go to them, we've got to reason with them, and we've got to lead them to Jesus. We've got to lead them to Jesus. Now, Jesus will do the saving work, won't he? But we've got to bring them there. Mark 10, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Hey, bring him to Jesus. Lead him to Jesus and he'll do the work. Paul reasoned with them. He preached Christ unto them and they believed. They were saved. Luke 7. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching that he would come and heal his servant. You know the story. His servant was healed. And this is the point where Jesus said, I've not seen so great faith. Where Jesus marveled. He marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Isn't that amazing? Remember the four men? Jesus was in the house. There was no room. They went and cut a hole in the roof and they let him down to Jesus because that was the only answer for their friend and his healing. Can I tell you, Jesus is the only answer. We've got to lead them to Jesus. Let him do the saving work of it, but we've got to bring them there. We've got to bring them there. Acts 8:35, and Philip opened his mouth and began in the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. We know about Andrew in John chapter 1. Of the two which had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. We've got to bring him to Jesus. We've got to lead them to the Lord. In Matthew 19, it says, and then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, suffer the little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. You say, well, they'll never get saved. Oh, that person, no. Man, ooh. Yeah, I love testimony. Dr. Lassiter was out soul winning one time and went up to his house, and this big, burly biker guy, muscle bound, tattoos, mean look in his eye. Well, he'll never get saved. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did. Don't take it for granted. Don't you be the judge of who'll be saved and who won't be. Hey, the maniac of Gadara, who ever thought he would be saved? Cutting himself and chains about him and running naked through the graveyards of the country. Huh? Nah. God couldn't save him. Why? Why not? Don't get a preconceived idea in your brain of who can and who cannot be saved. Just bring him to Jesus. Let him do the work. He will. One more verse and we'll be done today. Matthew 11 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Hey, Jesus wants them to come to him. There's room at the cross for them. But we have the responsibility, if we're going to turn our world upside down, to bring them to Jesus. Go to them. Reason with them. And lead them to the Lord. And you know what? If you do those things, you will turn your world upside down.